Yom Yerushalayim Sameach World. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh on this Yom Yerushalayim Tovshin Pevav is daf Tedvav. So we've been trying to figure out how it is that the Mishnah says, according to Rav, Mishnah didn't tell us beforehand what the din is if somebody shechs on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. Even though the Mishnah says the Shechita is kosher, it doesn't say what the din is legabe, the achila of that meat. And the achila of that meat is a question that raises all types of issues. So Rav tainted that the Mishnah was taking for granted that when it said that it's mutter, it's not mutter today on Shabbos, it's only mutter on a different time. And in the yeshiva, they wanted to say that the basis of Rav is that it's going out libid Rebbe Yehuda. Now, we were breaking our brains yesterday to try to figure out which exactly Rebbe Yehuda are we talking about, because we couldn't get it to work out with Rebbe Yehuda in terms of mukta. That led us into a problem of breira, and because otherwise you couldn't shecht on yantiv either. So because of that, it turns out they can't be Rebbe Yehuda because Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold a breira, as we brought the raya from the whole sugya. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we went through a number of different steps to get to a point, which we always do, starting with, of course, the taking off of Trumas and Maizras and Shema Yipok Ahanot. Anyway, it turns out Rebbe Yehuda doesn't hold of prayer. Okay, so then we tried Neilat, and then we tried a more specific mukta, then we tried Neilat. We didn't get anywhere. Anyway, so we end up today with a completely new approach. And before we begin this new approach, let's try to think about some of the issues that would be involved. If somebody did something like this on Shabbos, so first of all, there's a possibility, according to Waman Diyama, that the din of Kedesh Hilachin, in terms of Shabbos, is even Maaseh Shabbos or Usser, which is one particular Shita, which we're going to see. And that would mean b'diraisa, something that was done b'Shabbos, has nothing to do with the kavan of the person who did it. Maaseh Shabbos themselves are actually us. Okay, this turns out to be only the das of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, as we'll see later on. And this is shamartem es haShabbos ki kodeshi. And what is that kodesh? Just like kodesh is aser ba'anab, and it's aser to you ba'achila, so too is Maaseh Shabbos aser. That's one possibility. Then it wouldn't matter if it was b'shogeg or b'mezid. Then we have the other possibility, which is the question of a knas, the rabbona. Somebody went ahead and did an iser Shabbos, so then it would be aser. But then it ought to only be aser for him, not for other people, because we would be kenes only the individual who did it. Then we have another issue. The other issue is, would we be kenes even shogeg or only mezid? That's a machlokas about whether kansin on shogeg ought to mezid or not. And then we have another issue. The other issue is to be nene from a dvar avera. So is there a gezera? We don't want you to be nene from a dvar avera. So putting these things together, remember, in the Mishnah per se, we had a machlokas about whether we're discussing even a case in which the shechita was done by mezid, which was tesis a shechita that it was kosher. And the way in learning the Mishnah, which we're going to have to do in order to work out the Shita Salibit Rebbe Yehuda, that we're talking about the Shita being done b'shogeg. And when the Mishnah says that even though afa pish b'schayiv b'nafsho, that means even though for this mice it's a mice that you b'schayiv b'nafsho, it doesn't mean that this person himself did it b'mezid. Okay, that was in terms of the act. Was the act on b'shogeg or mezid? The question of what Rav was referring to when he says that we're talking about Asura Bachila Biyume, and that Rebbe Yehuda, that case could be talking about specifically what was done b'shogeg, because it implies that it was mutter at other times. It's just only Asura Biyume. So taking all of that into consideration, let's take a look at the Gemara today and see the three different shitas about this dinim of doing a Maaseh b'Shabbos. It's not. HaMevashel b'Shabbat. And here we're talking about not Shechita, Now, it looks like it ought to be the same, but not necessarily. And we'll talk about why it would be different, but it's obvious that there might be a difference in terms of the dinim of muksa, since the food wasn't muksa, but the behemoth was muksa mamach was iser, all to be discussed. But let's assume it's the same din. So now, if you are mevashel something on Shabbos, what is the din of that bishul? So this is a machlokas. And it's a machlokas here in a bright, even though it says it's not, this is not really a Mishnah. A mevashel b'shabbat b'shogeg, it can be eaten. And b'mezid, it cannot be eaten. And that's according to Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir doesn't define over here whether it means can be eaten after Shabbos or not on Shabbos, but we'll see that in the end, if somebody was over on a Shabbos b'shogeg, so then it's going to be usher, but only for the person who does it b'mezid. Shogeg, Rabbi Meir doesn't seem to give us any limitations, but Rabbi Yehuda says, now wait a minute, when? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if he did it b'shogeg, you're right. I agree with you. It can be eaten, but it can only be eaten b'motzei Shabbat. Because now Rabbi Yehuda introduces a new issue. And that is, nobody should eat it if it's on Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir assered only something that was done b'mezid. Rabbi Yehuda says there's an issue of being nene from a dvar avera, even if it was a shogeg dvar avera. So because of that, Rabbi Yehuda says nobody should eat it until enough time, which is called b'chdei she'yaseh, enough time has passed on Metzoy Shabbos to achieve the same thing. So if you cook something, how long will it take you to cook it on Metzoy Shabbos? Say a half an hour. After a half an hour after Shabbos, you would be allowed to eat it. On condition that you were not the one that went ahead and did it. But if you're the one who did it, and you did it b'mezid, then it's usher for you, forever. B'mezid lo yochal olamit. You'll never be allowed to eat this. But other people, now again, this is between the lines. We're going to be mevar specifically. What is usher at which point? So Rabbi Meir agrees that if you do something b'shogeg, that after Shabbos, for sure everybody can eat it, and you can eat it. The difference that we've seen so far between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even b'shogeg, nobody can eat it unless it's after Shabbos. Whereas according to Rabbi Meir, if it was b'shogeg, everybody can eat it right away, even on Shabbos. So already we could see that if you're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is referring to a case of b'shogeg, then it makes sense. Because the Rabbi Yehuda said, and this is what Rav said, is that when the Mishnah says you can wait until after Shabbos, and it doesn't define a difference between the one who shechted it or anyone else, that's precisely what Rabbi Yehuda said. If it was done b'shogeg, after Shabbos it could be eaten. If it was done b'mezid, then the one who did it is never allowed to. But if you didn't do it, then a knas, because this is a knas, it's a fine is only against the individual who did the avera. If somebody else didn't do the avera, why would we give him a knas? So he would be, another person would be allowed to eat it after Shabbos. Why then can't he eat it on Shabbos? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't want you to be nene midvar avera. According to Rabbi Meir, there's no such concept. If you were the one who did the avera, so then you can't be nene from the avera that you did. But there's no general din that people in general can't be nene from something that was done by Isser. Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler says, I take Rabbi Yehuda a step further. And the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler is much more chamer, because as Rabbi Yochanan Hasandler actually learns it out of a pasuk, Shabbos Kikodeshi, and that means it has a din of Israchila like Kodshim. Therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, if it's b'shogeg, so then it can be eaten Matzoi Shabbos, and that is the Matzoi Shabbos for other people. Masha Einkein, the individual who does it, is never allowed to eat it, and so this would mean the individual who did it cannot even eat it after Shabbos. You're b'shogeg yechel Matzoi Shabbos only la'acherim. So, but the acharim velo lo, but bemazed, we can never, sorry, bemazed lo yeachel olamit. No one is ever allowed to eat it because of the issur to your eyes. Lo lo velo acharim. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler, he holds, first of all, that there is a knas. And in this, he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda said there's only a knas by a mezid. Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says there's a knas by a shogeg. And therefore, the shogeg also is not allowed. If he's the one who did it, he's not allowed to eat it. And that means that according to him, we're kansinan shogeg otu mezid. Masha Inken, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're only kansinan the mezid, and he's never allowed to eat it. And according to Rabbi Meir, we're not even kansinan the mezid. Everybody can eat. Even the mezid can eat it after Shabbos, as long as he's not being nene directly from his iser. Fine. So this is a very complex machlokas, because we're arguing about several issues. We're arguing whether there's an iser d'oraisa about Kedusha, things that were done on Shabbos, and they become part of the Kedusha Shabbos in Rasser. We're arguing, and that would be a D'oraisa, and that's a machlokas, which only Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler holds that particular idea. We're arguing whether there is a knas, and that therefore it would be usur totally. According to Rabbi Meir, there's no such knas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is such a knas, but only b'mezid. And we're arguing about whether kansinan shogeg atumezit. Once we make a knas, do we make it a halacha about the event? And therefore, even someone who was not bemezit is still not allowed to eat it on Shabbos, which is Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. He holds even b'shogeg. If he himself did it, he can never eat it, even though he only did it b'shogeg, because of a knas. And he is the only one that holds that. So in other words, these particular two aspects of the machlokas, that katsin and shogeg are to mezit, and that there's an iser d'oraisa in the case of a mezit for everyone, that is the particular shita of Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. But meanwhile, we've got ourselves an explanation of the Mishnah according to Rav. If he's going like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're talking about a case of b'shogeg, then that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. If you did it b'shogeg, it's mutar b'achila to everyone, but only after Shabbos. Not to be nene from Edvar Avera. Fine. Excellent. So Rabbi Meir argues on that also, remember. He doesn't know there's an iser not to be nene mitvar Avera. He holds that it's a knas, and a knas is only for someone who did it himself. But if it was done by shogeg, and there's no knas, you can eat it right away. No problem. Okay, excellent. So now, seems to only work out by shogeg. Ask the Gemara, but why? Why can't we talk about a case where it was done by mezid? And then it would work out according to Rabbi Meir. Well, why was everybody so convinced that Rav has got to be explaining the Mishnah Liber Rabbi Yehuda? No, I don't understand. How's that going to work out? Remember that the Mishnah itself talks about Yom Kippur. And why does it mention Yom Kippur? In the sense that just like Yom Kippur, lo shna b'shogeg v'lo shna b'mezid lo achil. Can you eat it on Yom Kippur? Of course not. So that's why I put it into that context to tell me that the din, and this is where Rav actually gets it from, the din in the Mishnah itself is merames that the Shechita on Shabbos will be the equivalent of a Shechita on Yom Kippur. Namely, you can't eat it on that day, just like you can't eat on Yom Kippur. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's b'shogeg or b'mezid, and therefore, it's not according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Meir, it makes all the difference in the world. And according to him, you'd be allowed to eat it on that day, and therefore wouldn't be similar to Yom Kippur. That means that the Mishnah is going only in one particular case, in the case that it's a b'shogeg, and it would only be going according to Rabbi Yehuda. But wait, doesn't the Mishnah say b'feirish that it's talking about the mezid? And that was what shocked us at the beginning. Umim batzid mukmat la b'shogeg v'Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, afal pishi mitchayev b'nafsho? So that means he did it on Shabbos on purpose, and he's going to be chayev misa. No? No. What that part of the Mishnah might mean is that even though this maisis of the maisis that are so chamur, that if he had done it b'meisit, afa pita b'meisit, mitchayev b'nafsho, nonetheless, in this particular case, we did it b'shogeg, the shechita is kshera. And that way, if you learn that that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to, and only that case, then that's exactly the way the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch understand the Mishnah itself, that the Mishnah never spoke about the Shechita being kosher in the event that somebody did it on Shabbos, and therefore they don't have to come on to the approach of Tosfos that the first time he does something that's an Isser, he doesn't become a mummer to that Isser. Ask the Gemara, couldn't we work it out according to Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler? You said it could only be according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler said that it doesn't matter if it's b'shogeg, it doesn't matter if it's b'mezid, you can't eat it on Shabbos. And that is exactly what you're trying to say in Rabbi Yehuda. You can't eat it on Shabbos. So why can't it be Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler just as easily as it could be Rabbi Yehuda? No. Because Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler makes a distinction on Matzoy Shabbos between the person who did it and other people, right? So he says, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler says, other people after Shabbos can eat it, but the guy who did it can never eat it. But our Tana doesn't make any such distinction. Our Tana in the Mishnah simply says, Shechita tok shirakatani, loshna lo, loshna acherim. If he wasn't allowed to eat it, then the Tana would have to say, but it doesn't. Is this shchitas or kshera? So the only shita that matches all of these requirements, there's a difference between Matzai Shabbos and Shabbos. And that difference pertains both to the person who did it and to the person who didn't do it. The only shita that fits that is Rabbi Yehuda, which is why they very intelligently figured out in the yeshiva that what Rav must have meant is that this is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. Now, the one thing that remains is the question of muksa that we haven't really dealt with. And we don't know what Rav shita is in that. See, we had an actual event that clarified that to us. Because there was once a tana, remember that a tana, when it's used in the sense of tana kameh, means not a Tana, it means a Talmud that was a Baki in Braitot, and he would say over all that were the Tanoim had said. So he was basically the Bar Ilan of that day. So they had much more effective computers that were much more, oh, there he is, Barnea gives us an example of Bar Ilan. So it's true they were a bit larger than the Bar Ilan, but they did a good job on saying over all of the Braitot. So they would review these Braitot, would say it over to the Rosh Yeshiva to make certain that they have it right. So this Tana says in front of Rav, HaMevashel b'Shabbat b'Shogeg Yochal, somebody cooks on Shabbos, so if he did it b'shogeg, he can eat it. But b'mezid lo yochal, which is the shita of Rabbi Meir. It's exactly what Rabbi Meir said. And Rav said to him, shut up, man. What are you talking about? So meshatek le Rav. The Rav told him to be quiet. So why did Rav tell him to be quiet? I mean, what? Just because Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda? And so therefore, a chutzpah, in my face, you're telling me over a braisa of Rabbi Meir? That's crazy. The braisa is meant to record everybody's opinion. So Ilam Ibishrim, the sphere like Rabbi Yehuda, is it because Rav holds of Rabbi Yehuda? And Tana Tane Rabbi Meir, that's why he shut him up? Ah, come off it. Bishrim, the sphere like Rabbi Yehuda? You're telling me that because Rav personally holds of Rabbi Yehuda, anybody who's got the nerve to say Rabbi Meir Shita, he's going to shut him up. That's absurd. So mandatanik Rabbi Meir Meshatikle? Of course that's not possible, the reason. Not only that, by the way, you should know that Rav does not hold of Rabbi Yehuda. What? I thought we just explained. Hold on a second now. Hold on, it's not as simple as all that. Mi sover like Rabbi Yehuda? You think that Rav actually holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Actually, Rav Chanan Bar Ami said that you should know that when Rav was teaching his Talmidim, and it was private, So then he would tell me, look, guys, the truth is the halacha is like Rebbe Meir, you know, and if this is done on Shabbos, it's actually mutter immediately to be eaten. Shh, but don't tell anybody. So he himself actually held like Rebbe Meir, but he felt publicly it's going to cause people to be makel on Shabbos. If somebody cooks on Shabbos, they can eat it. So in public, he held of Rebbe Yehuda. He certainly wouldn't have told the guy to shut up because he's speaking about Rebbe Meir. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it was actually in public. Maybe that's why he told him to shut up. Same way he told his Talmidim, shh, don't tell anybody, right? Let's see that inside. V'harav, Rav himself, ki mori lehu rav le'talmide, he would tell them the halacha is like Rebbe Meir and that it's mutter even on Shabbos. But v'chidorash b'pirka, when he went to the public shiurim, that's called the pirka, where people would come, either for the kallah drushas or for the Shabbos drusha, Dorish Rebbe Yehuda Mishum Ameya Oretz. He didn't want people who didn't have proper Yerushalayim and regard for Shabbos. He didn't want them to hear that it would be mutter to eat something shechted on Shabbos. But that means he's certainly not going to tell this person to be quiet because he actually agrees with him. Now, maybe he'll tell me, V'chitema, this guy was talking publicly and he didn't want the Ameya Oretz in the audience. He didn't want them to make the mistake of thinking that that's the halacha. So he says, Shah, that's not true. Even though really it was true. So maybe this guy was talking at the actual public shiur. And because of that, Rav told him to be quiet. No, that doesn't make any sense. You have to understand what a public shiur was like in those days. The person giving the shiur, in this case Rav, would not speak up a shout across to the audience of thousands of people and without a PA system. And you know Ramesh's psak about the PA. He wouldn't want to embarrass Ramesh by using a public address system. So anyway, so what did they have in those days? They had a human PA system. Same way they had a human Bar Ilan computer. And that human was called an Amora, which is a speaker. Which is, of course, we call it a speaker, based on that original Amora. So the speaker was the only thing that the audience heard. Now, if somebody was up there on the dais and he was talking to Rav while the speaker was going, and he was saying over to Rav, Rav wasn't going to waste his time while the Amora is speaking, and Rav would first say something to the speaker, and then the speaker would say it over, as it wasn't done simultaneously. So while the speaker was going, this guy, the Tana, would whisper in Rav's ear, the Braita, to see whether he got it right. So that means nobody in the audience is going to be listening to what this guy is talking to Rav about. So why would Rav shut him up? Because of Ameya Oretz, nobody would have heard him. So v'chite metana bepirke tana kamei, maybe the person said over this Braita like Rebbe Meir, and he didn't want the audience to hear. How would the audience hear? Were the people in the audience, they were listening to the guy talking to Rav? They were listening to the speaker. So why would he have shut them up? It must be, says Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak. What happened was that we're telling over the Braita as it was meant to be. But that's not what the Tana had said. The Tana had said, Hashochet b'Shabbat. He didn't say Hamevasho b'Shabbat. He said, Hashochet b'Shabbat, b'Shogeg yochal, b'Meisid lo yochal. Okay, he made a mistake and confused the word Hamevasho b'Shabbat, and instead he said, Hashochet b'Shabbat. So he said, what's the difference? Okay, who cares? So Rav said to him, Omar Lay, what? You're totally confused. What are you confused about? Because my daitek, you assume that according to Rebbe Meir, it's the same situation. The issue is Chilul Shabbos, and what can be done with the results of Chilul Shabbos? Can you eat the animal? Can you eat the cholent that you cooked on Shabbos and so on, right? No, you make a big mistake. Because Ad Kan Lo Kashari Rebbe Meir Ela B'Mevashel. Rebbe Meir only spoke about Mevashel b'Shabbos. Why? Because, look, whatever it is that you cooked, can certainly be prepared in a way that people will eat it raw. I mean, when you're going to serve fish, there's plenty of people, hey, nice thinly sliced fish, put it in your sushi, whatever. It can be eaten. It's Roy Lacus. It can be eaten without a need to shecht it. You want to have beef tartare, whatever. No problem. So therefore, it's not an issue of mukta. But shochet is an issue of mukta machmas iser. And it's not roy lakus because you can't eat it because it's also mishoever minachai. And you would have had to actually shecht the animal. And therefore, it's mukta machmas iser. And Rabbi Meir would have held that mukta machmas iser is aser. And even though we said before that, well, maybe the live animal is omed liachila, Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with that, I'm telling you, says Rav. That is not true. You're making a wrong assumption in Rabbi Meir, and now you're throwing in your words, assuming it makes no difference. This is what happened when Tanoim get out of range. Say over precisely what the Braisa said. Shut up. It doesn't say anything about Shechita. And stop ruining your career. So therefore, Shochet, which is Eino Royal Lakus, Rabbi Meir never would have said that. And therefore, if you're saying over a Braita, it needs to be exact. But our Mishnah talks about Shechita. Hamas Nisin, the Shochetu, and Rav Huna says that Dora Shechia Barav Mishmei de Rav, he said, this is what we've been working on for the past 2 days. It's Oser Bachila for that day. And remember, we came out, when Asbin Chavraya Lameimar, everybody got together and said, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And why only according to Rabbi Yehuda? Because according to Rabbi Meir would be mutter. And now you're saying, no, no, Rabbi Meir would say it's usher. What? I don't understand. Yes, Rabbi Meir would say it's mutter. But for God's sake, let's recognize what we're talking about over here. There's two completely different issues. One issue, which we made this mistake originally, we thought that the question was the particulars about Muktza and Nailat and so on. We finally came out with a nice pshat in the Mishnah. The nice pshat in the Mishnah is, we are discussing the implications of Maaser Shabbos, nothing else. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, we could have been talking about Adinim Bavash. And now you're telling me, oh, but Rabbi Meir, I mean, in the case where we're talking about Shechita, he couldn't have said that it was mutter. Yes, he could. Yes, he could. How about if there was someone who was desperately ill right before Shabbos, in which case we knew that we might have to shecht this animal to save his life on Shabbos, okay? So then was it mukta machmas iser? No. So you're telling me, come on, I mean, what are the chances? That's not the point. Can we theoretically completely separate between the circumstantial issues of Mukta and the fundamental issues of the dinim of Melacha on Shabbos? Yes or no? Yes. Okay. So then throw out the Mukta problem and let's talk about what the Mishnah is referring to. It is addressing only the question of what's the din of things done on Shabbos. And that's why we said it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Meir, it would be mutter. Ayol Taina, what about Mukta? We're not talking about Mukta. And we don't have to be talking about Mukta. There's definitely cases where Mukta would not be an ingredient. And that Rabbi Meir would say to Farish, go ahead and eat it. But I don't understand. If you're telling me that the case that you want to talk about, this theoretical case, is where there's somebody seriously ill, then why would Rabbi Yehuda have said you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos? There is no iser at all because it was mutter to shecht. The whole point of Rabbi Yehuda is that we don't want you to be nene from the Avera. What Avera? You did a mitzvah. I don't understand. No. He had a desperately ill person before Shabbos so that at Shkia, everything was kosher. There was no mukta. We were going to shecht the Shabbos. They call in the sheikhet. Oy, Rabbi Yehuda is critically ill. Come immediately. He comes together with a doctor. The doctor says, this guy is ill. This guy's a hypochondriac. Get out of here. He's perfectly okay. So he was Hivri b'Shabbat. It turned out on Shabbos that the guy is now completely well. We don't have to check this animal for him, right? So now what's the din? Vis-a-vis mukta. Look, it's all theoretical. We're just trying to show that you could just separate the two issues, right? So vis-a-vis the din of muktzah, there's no muktzah. Because at the time that Shabbos was chal, it's adorable, isn't it? The time that Shabbos was chal, it's such clear thinking. It's such a scientific approach. mixing issues for it. This is the point. The moment that Shabbos was chal, it wasn't muktzah because he was sick. Now you're coming to Shech. It's an Avera. You're not allowed to Shech. There's nothing wrong with this guy. So now what's the din? That's the Machlokas review and Rabbi Meir about Maisa Shabbos, restricted purely to Maisa Shabbos without elements of Neilad and muktzah or anything else. Ah, what a wonderful learning of a Mishnah, no? First, we start off with our confusion. Ah, there's so many different issues. You know what I'm going to talk about? And then we focus on what the whole point is of the insistence on the Mishnah and mixing it with Yom Kippur and things that we hadn't even thought about initially. All of a sudden, it becomes clear. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, so Kegon Shehoyalo Choleh, you had it right before Shabbos and then Hivri during Shabbos. And therefore, there's no problem. So Mamela Rav told the guy to shut up because he was saying something that Rabbi Meir never would have said. And Rabbi Meir never would have been matir the Achila of Shechita. He was only matir the Achila of Bishol because the Bishol was no problem of Muktzah, but Shechita, into practical terms, would not have been edible. And actually, we know that this is true because Ki Yadei Omer Rav Acha Bar Ad Omer Rav, or Amrile, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Barada, Omer Rav, so it was Rav himself that said, Hashochet lechole b'Shabbat. Somebody shechs for a person who was ill enough to be mechal Shabbos. It's usur for a bori to eat that meat. But ha-mevashel lechole b'Shabbat, if he cooks food for Shabbos, then it's mutter lebori. Why? Because by Taima, I wrote Wilukus. Why ain't all right, Lilikus? Well, whatever was raw before Shabbos, got that kind of stuff was still edible, so it's not muktzah. But this meat was muktzah because of Isser. And therefore, this is talking about, of course, where he became sick during Shabbos. If he was sick before Shabbos, it wouldn't have been muktzah. But in this case, he was sick during Shabbos. It was an emergency, and we shechted for him. So over there, we're left with the same case, again, to show you, like, the variables. You got to apply the variables to the case. But when you're talking about the din, you want to strip the variables as much as possible from it. So, hi, ro'i lakuz, v'hai ain't ro'i lakuz. And just to point out to you that the variables can be played with any way you want, Rav Papa points out, look, you know, you could arrange the case that it's just the opposite, okay? You could arrange the case that the shechita is actually mutter for the person who wasn't sick, and the other way around, and the bishul would be usur. How is that? Because, look, if the shochet, let's take a case like this. The guy was sick miba'od yom. Shehayalo chole miba'od yom. So in that case, the shochet is mutter because he had to do the Shechita on Shabbos, and it wasn't muktzah, because it happened. The guy was sick before Shabbos, so it was omed la'achila. Mashain came, there could be a case where the mevashel is usur. How is that? Because the guy was sick, and it would be usur for anybody, because you cut, let's say, a pumpkin, and you made him a pumpkin pie, even though it was Shabbos, but he was sick, and he needed to eat pumpkin pie. So Kagonsha cuts out slow dalat, and then you cooked it. So then it's muktzah, because before Shabbos, it would have been usur, and this guy was not sick before Shabbos. So in that case, the mevashel is usur, and the sheichet is not usur. Omer of Dimi Minarda, there's some other issues. Let's just talk about the Ilkasa. Because if you're talking about the details, well, Hilchata, Hashochet lechole b'Shabbat. Somebody shechted for the chole, and he was sick before Shabbos. We knew that we might have to shecht. So then you can eat it, even though you're perfectly well. You can't cook it, but your mutter labori b'unza. If he wants to eat that piece of the meat raw, that would be okay. Why? Because you cannot get that meat without doing the shechita on the whole animal, right? So you can't shecht one steak. So therefore, once you've got a steak in this animal, then you've got the whole thing to be eaten. And therefore, the shechita was done by heter ki kashachit adaita dechala kashachit. But when you're cooking this pumpkin on Shabbos, or this meat, it's usher for a bari. Why? Only because of a gezerah. You forgot to take in another consideration, didn't you? A gezerah that if you're cooking for a chayla, you figure, let me throw in just another little piece, you know, and we'll have pumpkin pie for all. And because of that, it's usher for the bari, because gezerah shema yarba bishvilo. So therefore, it ends up with a new consideration. It's absolutely ingenious. Hey, you know, watch Zoom separate between Gavi and Ari, because now that the kids aren't in the picture, they don't need to be next to each other, right? They were only moved up so that Suri could play with Ari. I'm telling you, and it does it every time, and everybody laughs at me. Do you see that it's true or not? It never fails. It's absolutely astonishing. Okay, so let's just go over like all of the incredible issues that we've looked at just in terms of these couple of words of Ashochet B'Shabbat. It is mutter. So what actually is involved? So we have our basic issues that are involved is the machlokas that incorporates a number of different dinim. Our Maaseh Shabbos Aser D'oraisa, because Shabbos is compared to Kodesh. Our Maaseh Shabbos Aser to all because of a knas, and even if it's a shogeg, kansinat shogeg atu mezit. Our Maaseh Shabbos Aser because we don't even want you to be nene from an avera. And are there dinim of knas even on a shogeg? The technical terminology, kansinat shogeg atu mezit or not? And that was just the most recent issues. Then in terms of the circumstances, the question about mukta, and there it would matter whether it was mukta at the beginning of Shabbos, which determines the status of the mukta throughout the entire Shabbos. A question of whether something is considered to be neulad, as an oichamin that wasn't here at all. We introduced the idea of uchla de ifrat in terms of the dinim of neulad as well. And then we have other questions, which are the, we just raised, well, what about the question of a gezerah that you might be marba for another individual, which would also aser it? And then we had the question of whether you hold muksima machmas iser or not. And then we had the question of whether a behema b'chaya la'achila omedet or not, which originally we thought would actually moot the question of whether you hold a muksima machmas iser. And now Rabbi Meir says no, according to Rob, anyway. Okay, that's it, boys. I think that is extremely exciting. Now we can continue. But, I mean, that's it for this sugya. The question is, we're about to begin something totally different. It's early. We could start it and just continue it on Mitzvah Shabbos. I don't think that's so terrible, even though it's going to leave poor Richie on the edge of its chair. The whole, you know, we're going to need to call Kupat Cholim. But besides that, I think we can go ahead. What do you say? Okay. Now that allows us to actually hear the very words of that same Richie. And look at the Mesiras Nefesh. In introducing this Mishnah, he knows he's going to be on the edge of his chair the whole Shabbos. And nonetheless, he's Yotze, Ru'u Bria Shebarati. He's Yodea that the whole Shabbos will be in pain. And nonetheless, he introduces this Mishnah. Go for it, Richie, and give us inspiration. Excellent. Hashochet b'magal yad. Now we're talking about what type of things you could actually use for shechita. Now, we talked about some of this before, about sharpening a stone or using a reed, and that was just a brief reference to the sugya. Now we're going to get into the details. So remember, we've got our problems with notches in the knife. And those notches will catch the skin and tear them. And that is not considered to be an act of shechita. That's called, actually, if you're going to rip it out, it's called ikur. It's going to be a pagam in ikur. So what if you would use a sickle? And the sickle is a double-sided knife, essentially. It brings you both issues. So part of the sickle is very smooth, and it doesn't have any serrations, and you just swing it in such a way that it's able to cut straight through. The other side of the sickle is basically a saw, which when you've got things that didn't fall, when you just swiped at them with the sickle, you hold them in your hand, and then you rip them out by using the saw edge of the hand sickle. And therefore, one part of the sickle is like a shechita knife, and the other is the precise opposite of a shechita knife, because it's meant for ripping as opposed to shechting and cutting. So that really brings the whole thing up. What if you shechted with the part of the sickle that was smooth? So ha-shochet, which is going to be medayik once again, is the mashma'ut is bidyavad. So if you shechted with the part of the sickle that was unnotched, or you use a rock, a tzur, and it was properly, again, obviously all of these are checked, they don't have notches, you properly sharpened it, and so on. Or you had a kona, you had a reed that was straight, there were no notches in it, the shechita would be kosher. But it refers to a ha-shochet, if the shechita were done. Now, let's talk about what you can do lechatchila. Hakol shochatim. Well, not quite sure what that means. Hakol shochatim. Does it mean any person can be shechted or anything is shechted? We're going to have to go through in the Gemara each one of these things. Lo olam shochatim. Remember, we talked about that question. Ben bayom, ben balayla. Is it similar to suma? Is there a light or is it similar to the night? All to be discussed. But here it seems to be talking about elechatchila. Ubakol shochatim. And you can use any type of material at all, except you cannot use, under any circumstances, a magal kotzir. Because a magal kotzir definitely is serrated. But, and here we're raising a new issue. What is the direction of the serration? Because remember, if you have what we normally call a serrated knife, it's just the serrations go straight down, right? Up and down, up and down. They're not at an angle, which would mean that no matter what direction you shecht with, there's always this notch and then a sharp piece that follows it, which is going to rip at what you're doing. But let's imagine a case where the serrations are only in one direction. So what happens over there is if the edge of the serration is rounded, and this is like a really vicious kind of way to cut through things, because if you're going to be cutting through your harvest, what happens is that the wheat straw will get caught and it can't escape, because it's not just a serrated edge. It grabs it because it's on an angle. And since it is rounded towards the inside, it has nowhere to go. And you can rip it without losing contact with it at any point. But what happens when you shecht with that? The shechita is not capable of capturing the neck in that rounded piece, because if you're going in the opposite direction, all that happens is that the skin of the neck falls into that hole, comes out of it, falls into it, but there's no sharp edge at which the notch is going to rip at it. So it would actually depend which direction you move your knife. If you move it in the direction where basically it's just an up and down movement, then it would still be kosher. If you turn it in the other direction, then it can catch and it will destroy it and ruin the shechita. So we're going to talk about all of these things and what direction maybe they would be usur b'diavad and why we can't use it lechatchila. And this opens up the whole issue of understanding the question of where we're chashin le'iku. So you can't use a magal katsir, which is very different from the magal yad, but it's a different gezera. And you can't use an actual saw. And you can't use teeth. So take a teeth of an animal, because your catch in the area between the teeth, and you cannot use a fingernail. Now, that does not fit into the Mishnah, because you could certainly sharpen a fingernail, and why would it not be kosher? And here it turns out there's a completely different issue. And that's because anything that is connected to a living being or connected to the ground is posel for shechita. And we'll talk about that remez here in the Zipporin specifically. And even though it says mipnei shehin chonkin, that's only a reference to the first things, the magal kotzer, the megira, and the shinai. But the reason that the Zipporin is posel is not necessarily mipnei shehin chonkin, as we shall see. So it says the Gemara, okay, but look, ha-shochet means only b'di-avad, right? If you did, ha-shochet. So that tells me the avad, okay, we'll accept it. But l'chatchila, we're not going to accept it. Otherwise, it would have said, you know, b'kol shochatim, and include these things, and I mention it. But l'chatchila, lo. Now, I know why you cannot shecht with that magal yad. And why is that? Because remember, it depends which part of the magal yad you're going to be using. If you use the sharp edge of the sickle, well, that's great. I mean, that's very sharp. The guy sharpened it. He carefully checked it. He doesn't want any notches in it for uses a harvest sickle either. And he uses that for shechita. That's fine. It's nice and smooth. But what happens if the guy gets really into shape and he's used to using the magal the way he usually uses the magal? Swipe forward, grab, and cut. Now you use the other side. Dilma atilam eva bidach gisa. So what happens if he uses the serrated side of his magal yad? So it's basically a gezera. Don't use it because you can easily mess up. But if you did, and we know that you only use the smooth side, so that's not a problem. But I don't understand why it says that hashochet pitzur v'kaneh. What in the world is wrong with using a nice sharpened stone or a nice sharp piece of paper, which gives you a nice paper cut, and it cuts very well. And if it's a kana, it does not soft either. It's nice and hard, and will give you a smooth kana cut. What's wrong with that? Yes, Rabarnea. Don't tell me that you're coming directly from the swamp of the Kanim where they make the kanas for shechita, and that swamp is in Barnea's neighborhood. We already knew that. Do you have any chidushim?
Yeah, the tzur is in my neighborhood. The flint knife, and it wouldn't be sharpened, Rebbe. It would be napped so that it comes out with the sharp edge. And that's, you have to know exactly how they hit it so that from a core you get a sharp edge. You can't fix it afterwards. You have to have it like that. And I had one. I lost it.
Oh, no. You ruined our daily show and tell. I cannot believe it.
It's worth it. I traveled on the airline, and I had something that I could kill anybody. But no, it's a piece of stone. What's the problem? Let me go through security.
Okay. Anyway, so that I understand. But didn't we learn before? Bakol shochatim ben mitzur ben mizkuchit ben mikrumit shokona. And there it's a lashon of lechatchila. You can use anything. I don't care if it's a piece of glass. I don't care what it is, as long as it's completely smooth. And our Mishnah says, no, ha-shochet, only if you did. Ah, I'll tell you, there's a difference. Okasha, in the Braita, we're talking about things that are not connected to the ground. But in the case of the Mishnah, where it's Bidi Avad, it's talking about where the tzur was in the ground when you used it to shecht. You move the animal's neck across the tzur. And the tzur itself was attached. And you were using a kana that was attached to the ground. There it's not kosher. There it's not l'chatchila. The Omer of Kana, ha-shochet b'mechubar l'karka. If you use something that's attached to the ground, Rebbe holds that even b'di'avad it's pasul. And Rebbe Chia says it's kosher. If you did it, it's kosher. So at kan lo kamachshe Rebbe Chia la b'di'avad. I mean, all Rebbe Chia said was, if you did it, it's kosher. So the Mishnah is essentially saying what Rebbe Chia said. Only b'di'avad ava l'chatchila lo, which explains beautifully the different circumstances of the Braita and the Mishnah. If it's b'chubar, it's only kosher b'di'avad. And if that's what our mission is talking about, and if it's actually been taken off of the ground, it's completely kosher. There's no need to use a metallic instrument, and therefore it would be like any other sakachal shchita. Excuse me. You just explained our Mishnah, that it's going on Libra Rebbe Chia, and it's talking about being kosher only b'diavad. So explain to me, who is the author of the following Braita? Because there ain't nobody that I know. Elohadetanya. Bakol shochati v'chatchila. You can check whether it is talush, whether it's b'chubar. Uh-oh. We didn't meet anybody that said that, did we? I mean, Rebbe said it's possible b'diavad. Rebbe Chia says it's only kosher b'diavad. It's only kosher b'diavad, but certainly not b'kol shochatin b'mechubar. There's no such man di amar. And here it says ben b'talush ben b'mechubar, which means that I don't care whether the knife is on top and the neck is underneath, or the knife is underneath and the neck is on top. And in this case, basically, you're going to be moving the neck of the animal if it's bechubar. So does it matter whether we're pushing the neck up against the knife that's sticking out of the wall? In this case, the knife is made out of tzur. But, or does it matter if we're holding the head and pressing it down on the knife? No, it makes no difference. I mean, you think it would make a difference? I mean, if you're going to be pressing the neck down, what happens if you press too much? And it's going to be a drisa instead of a shchita kamashmalan. It doesn't matter to us. The shochet has perfect control over the pressure and can sense the pressure of the cut, whether he's moving the knife or whether he's moving the neck. A big chiddush. Okay, but what concerns me, says the Gemara right now, is it says, bein betalush bein b'mechubar. And here, who is this going like? Mani. It's not going like Rebbe. It's not going like Rebbe Chia. Rebbe Chia only said it's kosher. And you said, ki makshir Rebbe Chia, it's only b'diavad. Rebbe said, even b'diavad is not kosher. See, Rebbe Chia, diavad in l'chatchila lo. The e Rebbe, it's not even kosher b'diavad. So what the heck is going on? Well, you know what? We must have made a mistake. It must be that Rebbe Chia actually holds even the chatchila, and this braita is expressing the shita of Rebbe Chia. So why does it say before that they argued Rebbe Posel and Rebbe Chia was only makshir, which is a loshen b'diavad? No, that's not because Rebbe Chia's shita was limited to b'diavad. It's because we wanted you to understand that Rebbe is like totally an outlier in this. Rebbe holds that even b'diavad is possible, whereas we've got the kashrus over your shita that holds its kosher even l'chatchila. So we wanted to make it clear to you, listen, you got to understand there's somebody who completely holds that this is possible. Okay. So now I understand the Braita, but now I don't understand the Mishnah, for heaven's sakes. You fix the Braita and you wreck the Mishnah. The Mishnah says only HaShochet, which we were medayik means b'diavad. And you said that's Rebbe Chia. And that made perfectly good sense. But now it ain't anybody. Because the Mishnah that says HaShochet, which means only b'diavad and not l'chatchila, doesn't work out according to Rebbe, and it doesn't work out according to Rebbe Chia. According to Rebbe Chia, these are things that are mutrafi l'chatchila. So you could have said it in the list of the l'chatchila things. And according to Rebbe, it's even possible b'diavad. Wow. All right. I'm going to change Rebbe. Okay? It's actually Rebbe Chia. We were right. There's no other way to understand the Mishnah. Rebbe Chia says l'chatchila. Okay? I meant the price. Rebbe Chia says l'chatchila. That's true. Even l'chatchila. The Mishnah that says HaShochet, which means only b'diavad, is Rebbe. What? Rebbe? But Rebbe said before, posel. How can all of a sudden it be kosher b'diavad? Now we're getting to the crux of the issue. The crux of the issue is the psul of mechubar. Where does it come from and how far does it extend? And that's what it's about. The difference is that in the case of the Braita that we spoke about Rav Kahane, there it was talking about that it was mechubar mi'ikaro. This piece is sticking out of the ground, and it was attached to the ground naturally, and you were using it naturally. In the Mishnah, what we're talking about is something was a perfectly good knife, and now it's attached to the ground. So it was a tzur, and it was reattached. so that you have it mechubar, and now you're going to be moving the neck of the animal. So Rebbe says that if you're talking about mechubar mi'ikaro, and we're going to see where his mokar is, that is actually a psul in the fundamental concept of shechita, which we're going to see in the pasuk, and that's why he said in the Braita, you can't use that even b'di'avad. But if it was perfectly normal knife, except that it's made out of stone, and you connect it, or it's made out of metal, it makes no difference. You connect a metal knife to the wall, and now that way you just move as the animal comes by, you move its neck across the knife, next please, and so on. So then you would, in that case, it would be b'di'avad kosher because it was really a normal knife, and the fact that you attach it to the ground is not a problem. But what gives you the idea, says the Gemara, that you can make that distinction? You know what? Maybe we should wait for that next piece already till afterwards. That starts off the next issue, which is using mechanized shechita, which is fascinating. So we'll deal with that. If you've got a machine, a rotating blade and so on, could you use a rotating electric blade and do the shechita on that, assuming it was a completely notch-free blade, and that type of issue? So the Gemara is going to be discussing machine-run shechitas, and that's going to make us clearer about this issue and raise all kinds of new questions about the koyach of an adam, or using the koyach of a machine, all to be discussed.